amen, amen. Praise the Lord. We want to just thank each of you for being here this morning. Thankful to God for allowing us this opportunity that we have to be able to come together once again in His name. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, first and foremost, you are our honored guests, and we're thankful to have you in our presence on this morning. Are there any that are visiting with us for the very first time on today? All right, amen, amen. Glad to have you, glad to have you, amen, amen. Always great to have our visitors. We have some information for you on your way out, a packet of information. If you have any questions, we would love to answer any of them for you. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me. Oh, yeah, that sounds a lot better. Turn with me to Acts chapter 27. We're going to look at verses 20 to 26. When you can't change the wind, adjust your sails. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. And after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because none of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" Father in heaven, we thank you for this word, and we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time to be able to reflect on this word and on this story, but also looking at ourselves and the story that we're creating each and every day as we live these lives. Help us to have faith. Help us to look to you. Help us to not allow the storms of this life to overcome us, but to recognize that you are still the God of all storms. Bless, protect, and be with each of us is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul is on this storm-tossed ship. Winds won't stop. Sun's gone dark, and it looks like everyone's about to die. There was hundreds of men on this ship. This was not a small ship. And the lives of each of them was now at stake. It says that they were in the middle of this hopeless scene, and God sends a word to them in the middle of their trial, a word that changes things, that Paul hears and then shares with others. But before we look at the storm and the story in depth, I want to first look at how Paul got on the ship in the first place. Paul wasn't going on vacation to Rome. He was a preacher under arrest. He'd been preaching fearlessly about the faith that he has in the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. He had gone into synagogues many times when, as we've been studying through the book of Acts on Wednesday nights, we recognize that he would often go into the synagogues to teach first. He's given a platform there to be able to now share the good news with many people. And many people believed, and many people did not believe. There were some, and many Jewish leaders even, that decided that they were going to get him. They accused him. They stirred up crowds against him. Before long, Paul was standing in different courts, pleading his case. He stood before Felix. He stood before Festus. And then, of course, again, in front of King Agrippa. And when it looked like the courts were not going to rule in his favor, he appealed to Caesar. Because he was a Roman citizen, he had that right to appeal to Caesar. And he appeals to Caesar, meaning, take me to Rome and put me before him. I've got something to say. And this, of course, as we already read, was in alignment with the will that God already had for him as well. And so he says, take me to Rome to stand before this emperor. So they put him on the ship. And as he's on their way, the voyage started out real calm. But after a little while, as we already read, there was a great storm that came upon each of them. Paul told the men, you know, you can imagine these men there, especially in this time, out in the darkness of the sea, and as waves and storms are coming, things are getting darker, and as things get darker, men's hearts get heavier. Fear begins to set in each of them. And so you could just imagine yourself with not just you're scared, but everyone is scared. And here you are, helpless. You know, you do all that you can do, but yet it realizes that the storm is bigger than even you are. He's at this place, and they're starting to stale, and things are getting a little more dangerous. Paul had warned them before, we shouldn't go this way, but they didn't listen. There's a story in that for us, right? You know, sometimes we get warnings and warnings and warnings, and instead of we want to go the hard way, all right? We want to do it. I want to do it my way. That ain't in key, but y'all knew what song it went to, all right? Paul told them, and he said, "Brothers, this trip isn't going to end well. The season's too dangerous, and the weather is turning." But they wanted to push on. The captain thought he knew better. And they set sail. Everything seemed good at first, but then it says this nor'easter, it said. It said a nor'easter. There was a nor'easter that came in, right? It came in, and it's a violent storm sweeping out from the mountains into the valleys, tearing everything in its path. And before long, this ship out in that sea is being tossed, fighting for its life. Luke says that they started throwing cargo overboard. They were trying to lighten the load up. They started tying ropes around the hull because the pieces of the ship started breaking apart. And then it says, after many days, neither sun nor stars appeared, and all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. That's where they are. Hopeless. This storm has been raging for 14 days. I think at this point, they're about 3 days into it. Darkness, storm, tossed to and fro, fear. Lord, I'm in Paul's perspective. Lord, I'm trying to do your will. Well, you're in the storm too. You're in the storm too, brother, sister. We're in the storm also, trying to do his will. But yet, here's the beautiful thing is that God comes to him at night. And Paul stood up. The angel of the Lord comes to Paul at night, and he gives him a message. And then Paul shares that message. He says, "Last night an angel of God that I belong to, he served, and that I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, for you must stand before Caesar.' So take heart. And men, so take heart, men. I believe God that it happened just as he told me." You know what he did? He got up and talked with faith. That's faith talking right there. That's faith talk that he got. I don't know why. I don't know where. I don't know why. I don't know how, but I know who. That's faith talking. He's saying, you know, and we're in this storm, and but yet I don't know exactly how we're going to go through these obstacles. We were talking about this morning. My daughter gave me that one. I don't know how I'm going to be going through these obstacles, but I know that there's a destination on the other side. And so because I know God has promised this over here, that even though I don't know what's on the in-between, I know that where I'm here, he's going to get me to there. Y'all hear me? He's going to get me to that destination. God told me this. That's faith talking right now. God, Paul said, God made me a promise, and God is not a promise breaker. God's a promise maker, right? And God's a promise keeper.
He read about Abraham, that he had made this promise to Abraham that he was, that through his seed the nations would be blessed. And while there were obstacles to that seed, and even the ultimate obstacle that we remember where the Lord himself told him to take that very lineage of his and put him on the altar and sacrifice and kill him. He said, Abraham believed so much in the promise of God that he believed that even if he killed him, even if I go through with this, God would raise him from the dead. That's how much he believed in the promise of God. Joseph believed in the promise of God so much, being thrown into that pit. Joseph had a dream, and people tried to stop the dream that Joseph had. And as they tried to stop the dream and throw obstacles in his way and throw him into slavery and put him in Potiphar's house for a season, put him in jail for a season, put him, but all of that season that was seasoning him up and getting him, I'm going to have to patent that one right now, yeah. Yeah, it was seasoning him up, getting him ready for what God was about to deliver. Y'all make sure you get a copy of this. I got to patent some of this stuff. Yeah. God was preparing him for something greater to rule over, and so he used the obstacles that were in the way in order to build him up and get him ready for something that he was going to do. If God promised it, he's going to keep it, even if you can't see it. Hello? Moses, the Red Sea, he promised he was going to lead them out of Egypt, but I know that many of them, after they started following after Moses and following after God, and God said he's going to, and when they got to the Red Sea, many got disheartened and all that. But when God makes a promise, I know when we make promises, I know when we write checks, hello. But when God writes that check, you can take it to the bank and you can cash that. David knew, David understood. David was studied, and he, even going through so many experiences himself, understood and could talk from this faith and from this experience. I want to look at four things. I'm not going to keep you too long today. Y'all don't sound like you believe me, but okay, all right. Look at verses 20 to 26. Verses 20 to 26. It says, when we could not see the sun or the stars for many days, and the storm was very bad, we lost all hope of being saved. I want you to notice and underline the we in this. The we in this. First of all, Luke is included in this. He's telling and writing the story. Paul is included in. I just want you to see the fact that there's a we. It's not just because there were hundreds of other people on this ship. So they're included in it, but the Christians are included. As Christians, we can get weary sometimes. As Christians, we can feel hopeless at times. Christians going through experiences and trauma and tragedy and storm, you feel beat down, and we get beat down. We get beat down. The preacher, the elder, the deacon, the ministry leader, who every person gets bogged down. Life happens. Life be life, and the kids say. But he said, when we couldn't see the sun or the stars for many days, and the storm was very bad, we lost all hope of being saved. It was dark. There was hopelessness. And then verse 21, and after a long time, they'd gone without food for a long time. Paul then stood up and said, men, we should have listened to me. We shouldn't have sailed from Crete. Then you would not have had all these troubles. You know, and I'm sure someone was saying, Paul, shut up. You always coming with this, you know, we shouldn't. We in it now. We in it now. But luckily, he keeps going in verse 22, all right? But now I tell you to cheer up, because none of you will die. Only the ship will be lost. And he said, last night an angel came to me saying from the Lord that I belong to and I worship. Hello, he's putting a plug in for his true and living God. The angel said, Paul, don't be afraid. You must stand before Caesar. And God has promised that he will save the lives of everyone sailing with you. There's a word that God gives all of us. We talked about it already. I said it, and Brother Mark said it already. You know, when it regarding our dear brother who's passed on, faithful soldier of the Lord who's passed on, preacher, elder of the Lord's church that's passed on, and all that. You know, there's a great, great tragedy that happens in life. You know, but the comfort that we have is the fact we already know his reward, right? That helps us. That helps us. That helps me. I mean, we go through this life, and I talk about the troubles of life being par for the course. This is part of life. You can't separate the two. They go hand in hand together. You have life, you have trouble. In life, there's much trouble. Amen. And of course, there's much beauty and love and grace and all that as well. This is life. It's a mixed bag, is really the point, right? But this mixed bag, we've got something greater in anticipation. Heaven is awaiting us. There's something greater. When the book of Revelation, I share this many times. You've heard me say it many times. It's a picture for us to show us something greater, a reward greater than the suffering that you're going to go through right now. Be faithful to death. While you're being persecuted, while you're going through your trials and tribulations, be faithful to death. While people are trying to hurt you and run your name in the mud, be faithful to death. Continue preaching, continue teaching, continue sharing the word of God, even in the midst of trials. Because God has a promise for us. And his promise is true. I've got a mansion that he's building for us. He said he promised us that. He promises us that. That's why I didn't want to skip that song, you know? Yeah. He's doing something for us. And so you hold on to that, and that gives you hope to keep going. You know, life is rough, and what we need is hope. When we lose hope, we lost. When you lose hope, you're lost. When you feel like running, stay exactly where God has planted you. Verse 30 to 32. There, some of the sailors wanted to leave the ship. They lowered the lifeboat, pretending that they were throwing more anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul told the officer and the other soldiers, if these men don't stay in the ship, your lives cannot be saved. And so the soldiers cut the ropes and let the lifeboat fall into the water. What was happening here? The storm is beating upon all of them. All of them are fearful. All of them are scared and all that. And then they started lowering the ropes to see what the depth of the sea was. And they were thinking, well, we're going to run into rocks. And so they were fearful. They were fearful of the storm that was already beating them for many days, fearful of being in this darkness, fearful of the lack of food and all of that, and lack of resources. And all of a sudden now, because remember, they have a lack of resources. Why? They're throwing a lot overboard. They're getting rid of all their supplies. So every, man, you know how hard that is? You throw that good chicken out, you know? You done cooked a good old meal and you got to throw it out now? No. But it's either that or die, right? And so then it says, where was that? Some of the sailors, they wanted to leave the ship. They lowered the lifeboats, pretending that they were throwing more anchors from the front of the ship. They were out there, we're going to throw some more anchors out, y'all, while they're getting ready to put a lifeboat out so they could try to escape themselves.
Maybe I can fare better all by myself. Maybe I can do this all by myself. Maybe I stay away from the crowd and I'll get away from everyone. All y'all see where I'm going with this, right? All by myself. But what was Paul's admonition? Stay in the ship. There you go. You ain't got to stay on the ship. But if you want to live, you stay on the ship. If you want to live, you can stay on the ship. We like to run, don't we? We like to run. I was sharing one of the things, unfortunately, I see oftentimes. I have to deal with a lot of people, and I see patterns in people, things of that nature. I just have to come across a lot, and you see patterns. And sometimes I see there's some type of people that can never stay situated in anything. I ain't going to be looking at too many people because I don't want you to think I'm looking at you, talking about you. Run from relationship to relationship. Run from church to church. I ain't looking at nobody. Run from this relationship to this relationship, and from doing this career to that career. And once again, change is okay. Change is needed. However, there's something about putting roots down too. There's something about weathering storms. There's something about making sure that the roots go and grow and go down deep. Because what looks like it's a dry season just means that it's the roots getting a little bit deeper and deeper and deeper, preparing and getting you strengthened in order to be able to get the resources you need to thrive in the midst of the drought. And too often we run from a relationship. A marriage is on, and instead of fighting for it and recognizing that God wants us to go through it all, through the battle, through the war, through the pain, through the struggle, through the storm. Because when we made a vow, I really truly believe the vows that we make are the vows we ought to keep. And when it gets ugly and the storm gets dark and all that, that isn't the time to cut and run all the time. Sometimes that's the time to get planted to weather the storm that's about to come. Paul told them, he said, if you don't stay in the ship, your lives won't be saved. And so the soldiers, they cut the ropes and let the lifeboats fall into the water, and they stayed in the ship. I got so much more commentary. I'm being real good. Y'all don't even know. When you're still in the storm, thank God anyway. These messages, they preach themselves anyway, right? This just preaches itself. I just put it up there and sit down. No, I won't. Verse 33. Just before dawn, Paul began persuading all the people to eat something. He said, for the past 14 days, you've been waiting and watching and not eating. And now I beg you, eat something. You need to stay alive. None of you will lose even one hair of your heads. And after he said this, Paul took the bread and thanked God before it all and before them all. He broke off a piece and he began eating. And they all felt better and started eating too. And there were 276 people on the ship. And when they had eaten all they wanted, they began making the ship lighter by throwing the very grain into the sea. Amen. When you're still in the storm, thank God. I'll say it again. When you're still in the storm, thank God. Before the storm stopped, Paul took bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. I think about Jesus. Before Jesus' body was broken, he sat with his disciples and they broke bread. Before he spilled his blood on the cross, He sat with his disciples and they drank this cup that represented, he communed. He communed with them. Before the ultimate storm of him being on the cross, they sat and they communed and they gave thanks. Jesus, knowing he was going to the cross, knowing his crucifixion was at hand, gave thanks. Gave thanks for the suffering. Gave thanks for his impending death. Because he knew that it wasn't over. Come on now. I want to do some, I want to run around Pentecostal style right now. He knew it wasn't over. Yes, sir. Praise him in the midst. Why? I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't know when. But I know who. And I know he's done it before. And I know he'll do it again. That's what David said when he was looking at Goliath. I don't know how. I don't know who. I don't know when. But I know who. And he took those three stones. He only needed one. He had three just in case. Excuse me, five stones. He took those five stones. He only needed one. And with that faith, God took care of everything else. In other words, what we're saying is, you know, when we get into our darkest moments, what do we do? Some run from God. Some decide, you know, it's too dark. And so that means God's not here with me. Excuse me, when it's too dark, you're going to need some light. So keep them close by. Hello. Don't run away further into the darkness. Run toward the light. Some will run from God. Some will, in the storm, talk to God and curse God in the storm. You know what what Job's wife told him? Curse God and die. You in the storm, Job? Curse him and die. That was what he said. You foolish woman. Well, come on now. All right. I'm getting ready to turn my sermon in. When you're still in the storm, take the time to thank and recognize that the blessing didn't come from you. This blessing comes from God. Say thank you. Say thank you. And then look at verse 41 and 44. We're getting ready to land now, y'all. Now we're getting ready to land. 41 to 44. When you get a chance, read through this whole chapter. I know I'm skipping around and all that. I'm giving you the highlights. So that's what they call appetizers. You know, you just get a little taste. Now you gotta go back and get the full meal. Yeah, hors d'oeuvres. Verse 41. But the ship hit a sandbank. The front of the ship stuck there and could not move. But the back of the ship began to break up into big pieces. The soldiers decided to kill the prisoners so that none of them could swim away and escape. But Julius, the officer, wanted to let Paul live and did not allow the soldiers to kill the prisoners. Instead, he ordered that who could swim to jump into the water first and swim to land, and the rest were to follow using wooden boards or pieces of the ship. And this is how the people made it safely to land. I think it may be the King James that stresses that every single one. Let me go to King James. In verse 44, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to the land. I wanted that emphasis right there. That they all escaped. The ship that they were on was tossed in many days of this darkness of sea and waves beating upon it. They were throwing everything they could out of the ship in order to try to maintain life, including their own supplies. They're going hungry. They don't have enough for themselves. The little bit that they do have, they take and then they throw it out in order to make sure that they're able to make it to land. And the ship just starts breaking apart into pieces. Finally, they look like they can be able to make it to land. And each one is going to have to get to land a little bit different. You know, there wasn't no tugboats to be able to come and pull you safely in at this time. No, you're going to have to swim it, grab on something that's floating, and try to get over there and all that. And so you see that they were thinking about killing the soldiers. Because, I mean, the prisoners. Because they thought, well, there's no way they're all going to make it to land. Some of them are going to try to escape and all that. So we'll just make this easy. But yet every single person that followed the instructions that Paul received from the Lord made it safely. All right, you know we're going somewhere with that, right? Every single person that followed the instructions that were given to Paul, the promise that was given to Paul, the promise that was implanted in him of faith, a message of faith. You're going to go to Rome. That's a promise. I know you're in your storm, but you're going to go to Rome. Oh, I see you in the storm right now. I see the storm is raging. The waves are raging high. But you're going to go to Rome. You're going to stand before Caesar. And so God is going to deliver on his promise because God delivers on his promise. And whatever's happening in the way, in the midst of it and all that, God is using. God will use it. All the whatever's bad that happens, you know the scriptures, God will use it for your good. God is at work, and there's a story that he's playing out in our lives. There's something he's trying to do in each of us. There's a point that we're going to have to get to in our lives where we're done, and we're going to stand before him and say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." But before we get there, in order for you to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," you've got to do well, servant. You got to do well, servant. Servant, you got to do it. Yeah. I'm a trademark guy. These are coming today. All right. Every single one of them made it safely. The one that feared the most, the ones that were out there trying to cut the anchors to try to get off on the ship and go on themselves, they made it safely. In other words, the different measures of faith, the different people, the different backgrounds and all that, they were safe in the ship. They were safe listening to God's word and following God, following what Paul, the message that was given to Paul and that Paul spoke to them. We're given a message by Paul. We're given a message by Luke. We're given a message by Matthew and John and the men of God that were inspired by the Holy Spirit to tell a message to us. A message that then I have to come and share with you. A message that you share with other people. A message that we continue sharing. Because it's given to us to share. And Paul takes that, the message that he was given, and he shares with other and implants a faith that he has in them. There were people, they weren't Christians. But his faith spoke so loudly, they all listened. Come on now. Who are we? Who are we? What is our faith speaking to others and telling others about God and his promises and all that? Life happens and it hurts and it's horrible. But when you can't change the wind, this is about control. Sometimes we want control. Lord, I want to control my life. I want to control when things happen. And guess what? I don't have no control. Life is going to teach us. I don't have no control. One day we up, the other day we down. One day the stock market is looking, and the other day, who would have thought it? That's life. But one thing we always can do is put on a godly mindset.
I'm going to say that again. One thing we can always do is put on a godly mindset. And I think that's the challenge that we all have. I have it. I have it. I have it. You know, my wife and I, we had a conversation. I go, you know what? Wow. It was such a simple thing that she said and all that, and we know about it already. But sometimes it's just a little word to go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Why am I thinking that way? I should be thinking in the godly mindset. I should be thinking with faith instead of fear, not fear. I should be thinking with positivity instead of negativity. I should be moving forward and not backward. I should be serving the light and not be dwelling in the darkness. I should be. And sometimes that's us. What you just need a quick little word. Hopefully it was a quick little word for us today. While we're going through what we're going through, you be that light. You be the one to change the course of the conversation. You be the one that all of a sudden, you know, just snaps us back into positivity. You be that to others. Amen? Amen. Amen. Maybe it's somebody here today, and we know ultimately all of us, we're gonna have to walk through this same door called death. All of us are going to have to walk through it. But as someone already shared earlier with God, Jesus wants to come beside us. We're going to be in a courtroom at someday. The Father is going to be there and pronouncing judgment. We're going to have to stand before him for what we've done and not done. We're going to have to stand before him and give an account. Man, I don't want to speak to him alone. There are some people that say, you know, I'll defend myself. Who? Even lawyers, even most good lawyers will tell you that's not wise to do. Even they won't even defend themselves. I need someone stronger. I need someone wiser. I need someone better. Think about it. You getting ready to go up for the trial of your life that's going to depend on your eternity. Man, don't get the Mike's 1, 2, 3 ABC on the billboard lawyers. Yeah, exactly. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Better Call Saul. Hello. All right. Don't get one of those. You want the top-notch best. We have Jesus, our advocate, and he will come beside you. He will stand and defend and plead your case before the Father, and he has never lost a case. So we're going to be all right if we were Jesus. Amen. Maybe there's someone here you know that you need to get in a relationship with the Lord. Jesus came, he died, and he was buried, and he rose on the third day. That's the gospel. That's the good news. He died, he was buried, and he rose. It proved that he's Christ, that he's Messiah, prophesied of old, coming to save man from his sins, coming to be the substitutionary sacrifice, to take our place on the cross. And then he did what only he could do. Jesus lived a sinless life. Then in his death, burial, and resurrection, he now gives to each of us this great gift of salvation. He has satisfied. He has satisfied the requirement that God had. He did it in himself, in his body, in his blood, in shedding his blood. And now he offers us. Will you surrender your life to him? Will you walk with him now? Will you? I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about Christ. Will you enter into a relationship with him and come into Christ, allow him to now be yours and you be his? You start that relationship in this watery grave of baptism. In baptism, you strip yourself away. This old man is crucified. That body of sin is destroyed. And we walk and we rise to walk in newness of life. Maybe you're here today ready to become a new man and a new woman, ready to get rid and shed that old man, that old woman. You can do that today in this watery grave of baptism. Are you ready to die to yourself? And now, be made alive in him. If you're ready, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation.